Today's reading is taken from Luke, and I'll be reading from chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, and this can be found on page 1036 of the Church Bibles. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood before him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. She did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But who has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So let's pray as we look at God's word together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the words of life that it contains. And we pray that we would know more of your life-given love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wonder who here likes to receive presents. Yeah? Some people like to get a present. Upstairs, does anyone like to get a present? Maybe it depends on what it is. Oh, there's a hand up here. And how does receiving a present make you feel? Happy. Happy? Yeah. Loved? Thankful? Excited? Yeah. What about if this present is something that you really need or want? Do you feel really loved? Really thankful? The person really cares? They've thought about what it is. They've not just given you anything. They've thought about what it is you need and they've gone and got you that thing. What about if it's something that you don't really deserve? So it's not your birthday. It's not Christmas. You might have just had a bit of an argument maybe with the person and then they give you a present. How do you feel then? Anyone? Oh, ashamed. Okay, so they're giving you this present and actually you don't deserve it. Yeah, anyone else? How do you feel if you get a present that you don't really deserve? Yeah?
You feel sad if you don't get
the present. Yeah? So I think if someone gives you something that you don't really deserve and you know you don't deserve it, you feel even more thankful and even more loved, actually. It's not my birthday, it's not Christmas, I didn't really deserve this, and they've gone out their way to give it to me. What about if it's something that would have cost the other person a lot? Not necessarily in money, but maybe in time or effort. Maybe they've really had to put themselves out. Does that make you feel really quite overwhelmed with love when someone's given you something that you don't deserve, they've put themselves out, and it's something that you need? And when it's all of those things together, something that we really need or really want that we don't deserve, that's cost the other person a lot, sometimes our response is, I'm lost for words. Do you ever receive a present and think, I'm lost for words, I don't know what to say, I'm speechless? Has anyone ever felt like that? Yeah, there's a few little kind of nods. If we're a child, we might run over to our parent and give them a big hug. If it's just like a little present that we think we're entitled to, we get on and play with it. But if it's something that's what we really want and we didn't deserve it and we know it's cost the person a lot, we might run over to them and throw our arms around them. We're just overwhelmed. We respond not because the giver of the present has asked us for it or because they expect it, but because we recognise the extent of their love for us. And our Bible reading this morning is all about one woman's response to Jesus' love. And I can see some people over here have already been doing some craft. I'm wondering if Rob might come and help you to... it looks like you're already doing the right thing. Where's my example? So over here, if you want to, if you've not come over here already and you'd like to join in with the craft, do come over. You can make a spinner. And what you have to do is you have to put your face in the circle on one side. So there are some pieces of paper with circles and hearts on, like this. So you draw your face into the circle, and then you colour in the heart. So here's my one I made earlier. This is my picture of me. And then here's my beautifully coloured heart. And what you'll find, well, I won't tell you what you find. Just do that bit first, and then I'll tell you how that's going to help us to think about Jesus' love for us. So once you've done that, you then need to get a straw. So there's some straws on the table, and you need to put it in the middle and glue the two halves together. Now, Rob's very creative, so he should be able to help you with what to glue where. And so you should end up with a piece of A4 paper with a straw in the middle and a face on one side and a heart on the other. And I'll tell you about how that's going to help us in a minute. So if you're sitting down and want to come and have a go at that, do come over here and Rob will be able to help you. So Simon the Pharisee in our Bible reading is a very religious man, and he's holding a dinner party, and he's invited Jesus to the dinner party. Now, some Pharisees wouldn't have dreamt of inviting Jesus to a dinner party. They would never have entertained having Jesus. They know the law and who's this Jesus person? We don't want him in our home. But some Pharisees would have been a bit curious about who Jesus was and what he had to say. So Jesus has gone to this dinner party at Simon the Pharisee's house, and Jesus is reclining at Simon the Pharisee's table. When a local woman who's led a sinful life hears about this and turns up at the dinner party with a jar of perfume. The woman isn't an invited guest, but in Jesus' time, homes would have been a lot more open than our homes are today. So it wouldn't have been that odd to be having a dinner party and for someone to kind of wander in. That was quite normal in Jesus' time. The thing that wasn't normal is what happens next in the story. Because what happens next is really quite shocking. The woman... the local woman, she's wandered into this dinner party between Simon the Pharisee and Jesus. Jesus is reclining at the dinner party. In wanders this woman. And she's so overwhelmed at being in the presence of Jesus that she starts to cry. And she's brought this perfume, presumably to anoint Jesus' feet, but she doesn't even get to that point. Her tears are falling, and so she weeps on Jesus' feet. She cries on Jesus' feet with her tears. And then because she's wet Jesus' feet with her tears, she lets her hair down and dries his feet with her hair. And this would have breached all social etiquette. This woman who's not invited, who's lived a sinful life, is using her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. So it's not unusual that she's wandered in. That kind of happened then. But she's wandered in, cried on Jesus' feet, and then let her hair down, which was not the done thing, to wipe Jesus' feet with her hair. If the Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, who's hosting the dinner party, was curious about who Jesus was, well, now he's got the answer, hasn't he? Jesus is clearly nobody. Because if Jesus was anybody, there's no way he'd tolerate this outrageous behaviour of someone crying on his feet and then wiping his feet with her hair. However, what follows is even more shocking. And this is what reveals the extent of Jesus's love. Because Jesus tells the Pharisee a very short parable of two people. So two people. One owes a large sum of money and one owes a small sum of money. But neither of them can pay. The person that has the large debt, he can't pay his debt. And the person that has the small debt, well, he can't pay his debt either. So the money lender forgives both of the debts, the really large one and the small one. Jesus then asked Simon the Pharisee, which person will love the money lender more? The one who's had the large debt forgiven or the one who's had the small debt? Imagine you're someone that owed £1 million, or imagine we've got someone that owed £1 million and someone that owed £1. Who would be more thankful to have their debt written off? The person that owed £1 million or the person that owed £1? In all likelihood, it would have been the person who had the bigger debt forgiven. The Pharisee, Simon, who's very religious, so probably not thinking a great deal about needing anything from Jesus, let alone forgiveness, hasn't even bothered to give Jesus water to wash his feet. You have to think back to Jesus' time. People are walking around on dusty ground with sandals. And so a normal hospitable thing to do would be to give someone some water to wash their feet. Simon the Pharisee, he's very religious. He's a bit curious about Jesus, but he doesn't think he needs anything from Jesus because, well, he's following his religion. And he doesn't even think to give Jesus water to wash his feet. This sinful woman, on the other hand, she knows that she needs forgiveness. And she knows the extent of Jesus' love, that he can forgive her sins. And so she wets his feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. Her extravagant behaviour is because she knows Jesus' extravagant love. So she's behaving in this really outrageous way, responding to Jesus by using her tears to wash his feet and then wiping his feet with her hair. And that's because she knows the difference that he can make in her life. She knows both her need of forgiveness and that Jesus has forgiven her. Jesus' great love leads her to respond with great love. I wonder if I asked you to score yourself on whether you would consider yourself a good person. So let's say 1 is that you're absolutely terrible and 10 is that you're perfect. You don't have to tell me, you don't have to tell anyone. Where would you put yourself between 1 and 10? 1 is terrible, 10 is perfect. I suspect most of us would probably put ourselves somewhere in the middle, maybe a 7 or an 8, because honestly, none of us are perfect. I think most of us would utter that phrase. None of us is perfect. No one's perfect. So we're not a 10, but actually neither are we terrible. When we watch the news and see some of the really, really awful things happening in the world, well, we're better than that. So we're definitely not terrible, but no one's perfect. So we're probably, most of us, I suspect, might put ourselves around about a 7 or an 8. The reality is, we might be generally pretty good people, but all of us still need God's forgiveness. Remember back to the two people with the debt. One had a debt of, let's say, £1, and one had a debt of £1,000,000. But they both needed their debt to be forgiven. We might be generally pretty good people, but we all need debts to be forgiven. We all need our sins to be forgiven. God loves us so much that when we come to him in faith, believing that he can forgive sins, as we turn away from living our way and choose to live his way, and that was what we did in baptism, those three turning away questions and those three turning towards questions, turning away from living our way and turning towards living his way. When we do that, we can receive forgiveness. To which our response, when we realise we've been given what we really need, what we don't deserve, and what has cost Jesus his life, is love and thankfulness. We don't love Jesus because we ought to love him. We don't love Jesus because we should love him. We love Jesus because we can do nothing but love him, nothing but worship him with praise and thanksgiving when we realize the greatness of his love for us. The world is full of self-help books and self-help manuals. But the one thing no book can deal with, the one thing none of us can deal with by ourselves, is our sins, the things that we get wrong, the mistakes that we make, the guilt and the shame that we carry. Simon the Pharisee, all of his religion wouldn't deal with that. But Jesus does. And when we know the extent of Jesus' love for us, we can do nothing but love him back. So has anyone managed to make a spinner? Rob definitely has, because I can see him doing it. Have we got any more spinners here?
One upside down face, but it still works.
That's okay.
This one's good, except the paper's gone a bit floppy.
So what you should find is, oh, maybe it's had a bit too much glee. It might dry out later. So who's got a spinner and can just spin it so that we can see? I see some walking off to the back. Can you spin it so we can? Now, what you should find if you look really closely is that when you're spinning it, a bit of an optical illusion happens and you should be able to see your face in the heart. So you look really closely when you're spinning it and you see if you can see your face in the heart. Anyone see their face? Spin it really quickly. Can you see your face in the heart? Anyone? Oh, anyone at the front?
That one works.
That one works.
His face is upside down.
So we've got an upside down face in the heart. So you can take those home. Probably when the glue's dried, they might work a bit better because the paper might be a bit firmer then. And what should happen is when you spin them by rolling the straw between your hands, you should see your face in the heart. And the idea behind that is to remind you as you go home of the extent of Jesus' love for you. So although your face is on one side and Jesus' love is on the other, when we come to Jesus in faith, we can be assured that he forgives us when we ask for that forgiveness and we find ourselves in his love, our face in his heart. And then we're called to respond in love for him. And this is what Harper's Baptism has been all about this morning. Celebrating how out of love for us, Jesus gave himself so that all the wrong things we do can be forgiven. And at baptism, we make promises, or grown-ups make promises for us, to go on a journey of following Jesus within the family of church as we all learn to respond to God's love together. Remember, it's not something we should do or we ought to do. We're not here because we feel we should be here or ought to be here or we probably should go to church this morning. We're here because we know the extent of God's love, that overwhelming feeling when someone gives you a present that you don't deserve, that's cost them a lot, that they know you really need, and you just, I'm lost for words, and you give them a big hug. That's the feeling that we feel when we gather as the church. We know Jesus' love for us, and we can't do anything but respond with love for him and praise for him and worship of him, which is why we sing when we gather together. Amen.